Do we get a love boat?
Love boat.
There you go. Cappy's here.
He's waiting
Sedano
for you, though,
will
Mace.
Be with us here in a minute. So Momo was talking about last night being at the Lakers game. Lakers win. They're now 6-2 in their last 8 games, and they look better. They're entertaining. They got tacos last night. Momo says too many people are spending games on their phones. In other words, like, she's looking at people who are videoing the game action as it's going by, and the argument is, well, are they really enjoying the game, or are they just shooting video?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you take a lot of pictures, you take a lot of video. Do you ever have the sense that I'm not in the present moment? I'm thinking about this picture, and I'm not thinking about who I am, where I am, what I'm doing.
Not really. Even while I'm doing it, not really. You know, like, so I'll be shooting a video. I'm at a concert, right?
Yes.
And I'm shooting a video. And my intention is I'm going to shoot this video, and I'm going to post this video. And with my paltry following, I'm going to share with people that here I was at something cool. Look at these guys. They're performing really well. This is exciting, blah, blah, blah. And then what happens is after I shoot the video, I never really post the video.
Right. Or,
you never do post it?
I mean, not never, never, but like based on the amount of videos that I've shot versus the amount of videos that I post, I'd say I'm about 200%.
So wouldn't you have been better off just watching the concert and enjoying it as opposed to thinking about a good angle and lighting, all that kind of stuff as you shoot video?
I'm not really thinking about the lighting or the angle so much as just like the event itself. But I was at a Green Day concert a couple of years ago. What's the lead singer's name of Green Day? Does anybody know?
Billy Joe Armstrong.
Yeah. So I went to that concert one time. A friend of mine was like, come on, we're going to go see Green Day. I'm like, I don't really love Green Day, but all right, I'll go. And people were up front and they were all shooting videos, like literally like in the front row. And he was like, would you people please put your phones down and be in the moment? You don't need
Seriously.
To shoot video of us. You can just watch us, you know?
I mean, you paid a lot of money for those seats.
That person has a point. Sedano, what do you think? You're welcome to the show, by the way. What's going on?
Hi.
I'm Sedano.
I am a big believer in just, yeah, use your eyes. Like, it's okay. Like, your eyes are the best recording device you ever have, and your memory, for that matter. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have a better camera and recording device than your brain and your eyes. Like, by the way, when you shoot those things, when you shoot those things, though, Cappy, yeah, you may forget it, but when you shoot it on video, it's nowhere near the same as what you're visualizing.
No doubt.
I mean, you can capture. How about like take one or two photos? I'm not saying you can't take
post
a video
from a concert or a game.
Hey, let's take a selfie, or like let's get a picture of LeBron, or you're at a Laker game, cool. But a video game,
no way. It's not the same.
And you're not going to watch this over and over and over again.
Nope. And you know what's going to happen? It's because it happens to me all the time. Now I've got tons and tons of videos just eating up space on my phone that I'm never going to watch again.
Right.
And I'm never going to post, ever.
Right.
And then you end up going through and having to delete everything.
Soda. Yeah.
Oh, the dirt.
Yeah, and you're never going to go back and look at it.
Yeah.
No, but you know what I think the issue, though, is, Momo?
Huh.
Is that if you were at home, and I don't mean you, but I'm just talking about the average person who's at the game. If you're at home and you're watching the Laker game last night, you might be on your phone while you're watching.
That's fine.
You might be tweeting, Instagramming, Facebooking, TikToking, LinkedIning, or whatever else you might do on your phone.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So you might be doing these things while sitting on your couch watching the game. And I really believe, because I think I'm guilty of this, when you're addicted to your phone.
Yep.
I think I'm addicted.
Me too.
When you go to the game, it's like sitting at home on your couch and like, what do I do with my time in between plays? I'm on my phone. How many of us use our phone at red lights?
I'm not gonna lie, I do.
I don't.
Oh, only if like I get a text or something from someone that I think is important, like
but
my
I
wife
use
or
Siri
something.
A lot.
But I'm not like, but I'm not like looking at like my Instagram at a red light.
A lot of you guys, when I text you guys sometimes during your show, I will do it using Siri. You can use it. Siri works really well for me. And it's an easy way to text, and I don't have to look at the phone. I think you can get busted by the cops for looking at the phone at a red light.
Well, like, you know, if a cop pulled me over and he's like, hey, you know, what's going on, officer? And he's like, well, you were texting and driving. I'd be like, no. I wasn't texting. I was tweeting. It's a whole different thing.
Oh,
you know?
It's totally different. Yeah.
Totally different. Sir. I mean, when I stop at a red light, I pick up my phone. I mean, I admit it. I'm addicted to the phone.
Yeah, I think I am too.
Yeah, I think everybody. I'm addicted to my laptop. I hardly ever use my phone.
Yeah, you're big on your laptop.
I use my laptop all the time.
Yeah,
I'm pounding away at it all the time. You know, we were talking about Christine McVie, who passed away yesterday, and Momo's a big fan. And the Taylor Swift thing just happened where she sold out five nights at SoFi, mm-hmm. and, you know, nobody's ever done that. Are there other female acts that could sell out SoFi? Mm. Can anybody
Beyonce.
Other than Taylor Swift do it?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Beyonce.
Adele.
I bet you even at 60-something years old, for sure Madonna could.
Right.
Well, not Pink, if she shows up 2 hours
Pink,
late.
Pink, I think, could. Pink is doing a show there.
I don't really can Pink.
Well, that's not true, Momo, because Lauryn Hill has notoriously shown up plenty late to her concerts, and there's yeah. plenty of people there. So
wait, Pink yeah. is playing at SoFi?
Yeah, she's playing at SoFi.
When?
August, I think.
And is that a one night deal?
Is Pink big
yeah,
enough for
night.
SoFi?
Well, Pink that's is big. Have you? I've seen Pink 3 times.
Dude,
she
I saw
puts
Pink
on the best friggin' show.
I saw Pink about a month and a half ago. Maybe it's 2 months ago.
Did she fly around in the air?
No, because it was kind of more Pink doing like rock stuff. In fact, I saw her twice in the same week. The first one was at that Taylor Hawkins show that
yeah,
she was a
yeah.
part of at the Forum, and then this, and then like a week later, I want to say. She was at Ohana Fest, the Eddie Vedder show down in Orange County at Doheny State Beach. But I didn't know that she was a SoFi Stadium big Pink. I thought she was a Staples Center 13, 15, 18,000 big. I didn't know she was Staples.
Yeah, no, she's playing SoFi. She
was, wow.
Yeah.
I wonder, do you think Carrie Underwood could?
Probably not.
I don't think so because I don't really know that much of
she'd
her.
She'd be
you know?
Crypto.com. I don't think she'd be SoFi. You've got to be pretty big to play SoFi.
SoFi's pretty big, yeah.
Man, it's a huge stadium. Man,
it
really.
Is.
Beyonce it is, could. Way, I bet Beyonce could.
Could she do it 5 nights in a row? I would think so. If Taylor Swift can do it, Beyonce can do it. Can't she?
I would think so. Yeah, I would think so. By the way, I use your tickets on Sunday. I'm going to use my tickets at the Rams game. Come to the game.
Mariah
please.
Carey? Could I don't Mariah want to do it?
No, Mariah Carey
not anymore.
Puts on an awful show.
Even
awful
like Janet
show.
Jackson can't do it. I mean,
Gaga?
Even,
Lady Gaga is
maybe.
Possible.
Maybe. Katy Perry, maybe.
Katy Perry is possible.
Really?
Yeah, because she gets the big, goofy sharks and all that stuff.
How about Miley
that she
Cyrus?
Did at the Super Bowl. I don't think she's there.
No.
I don't think she's there.
No.
There are a few, but not a lot. Not a lot. No.
Mary J. Blige?
No.
Okay,
oh, Rihanna.
I'm getting good ideas
yeah,
of who
Rihanna
is and
could.
Who isn't. Rihanna?
Rihanna
really?
Could.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's got more number one hits
sure.
than any woman in history.
Mm.
She's huge. She's doing the Super Bowl this year.
What's the girl's name? She's really great. She plays piano also.
Alicia Keys.
Yes. Could she do it?
No.
She's great, but no.
Okay.
Christina Aguilera, not anymore.
No, I don't think so. I haven't heard from her.
I think it's Beyonce. Maybe Gaga. Maybe.
Yeah, Gaga.
Shakira?
Gaga.
Shakira?
Possibly.
Maybe.
Shakira played the Rose Bowl, I think. Which is a big venue.
Yeah.
I think
Katy Perry is a maybe.
Katy Perry's a maybe.
When I said Katy Perry, I was heard no.
That's oh, really?
Maybe.
No, we changed our minds.
Oh, you guys changed your minds?
Yeah, right. Totally.
And Beyonce. We said Beyonce. Yeah.
Hold on, hold on. I got a good one. Mace, how about this one?
Oh, Fiona Apple. She'd be fantastic. Do you know the Fiona Apple song?
No. What's the story with her?
Okay. So, worst concert I've ever been to. I've now told this story once before
yeah, I know.
Today, but I'm telling it
it's
again.
It's a short story. Go ahead.
So, I go to the see Fiona Apple when I was living in New York, and I went to see her, I forget where, somewhere downtown. And I was excited because she had one big hit record. And she was edgy and dark and all that kind of stuff. And I thought, this is going to be really cool. So, it's a dark stage, and all of a sudden, the lights come up, and out walks Fiona Apple. She's an act that sits at a piano and plays. And so, Fiona Apple walks up to the piano bench, sits down, pauses for a moment, and then pounds her head into the keyboard.
What?
Gets up, walks off stage. That was the end of the show.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
It's quite a
she
performance.
Puts on a show.
She's an artist.
She is an artist.
And an entertainer.
Very temperamental.
Just wasn't
very
feeling it that day.
So
it's
guys,
like she went out there for pregame warm-ups and it was like, nope, can't go.
Mm. How old was Christine McVie? Do we know?
79.
Wow. 79.
Do you guys know that I just saw Stevie Nicks? You talk about this kind of a band, obviously,
yeah.
right? Fleetwood Mac.
Same band, sure.
Right. So I just saw Stevie Nicks a couple weeks ago, and she, I want to say, is in her late 70s, and she killed it.
She's really? One of the best musicians I've ever
is
seen.
Is she still spinning around?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. It's a little different now.
Okay. I have video of Stevie Nicks spinning. I did do that.
You
when I
send
saw
that
Fleetwood,
out.
Okay, I'll find it for you.
Send right. that out. Send right. out yeah. the video of send Stevie it. Nicks.
And that was
when
worth taking
of,
a video of.
When I think of Stevie Nicks, I always think of her spinning around in
yep.
a long black dress.
Yeah. Yep. You're right.
That's kind of her game.
I was looking at her up on stage. I'm like, this woman is up there killing it, and she's older than my mother.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah, it is incredible.
Could you imagine your mom on stage, Cappy,
oh,
right
God.
Now?
Oh, my God. Could you imagine her? Hello, everybody. How are you? You know, wonderful to be here. Very nice. I don't
That's
really have
That's the way
much,
mom sounds?
Yeah. She would be able to do like the Fiona Apple act. You know, she'd be able to pound her head into the keyboard and go, thank you very much.
Yeah, yeah. No, we did get our money back on that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. They did refund it. I heard they refunded the Morrissey concert at the Greek Theater, too, where he said it was too cold. He played for 30 minutes, then said it was too cold and walked off stage.
That's funny.
Why we know these things. Yeah. You know, I was talking about this with Momo a little bit earlier. I want to get your guys' take on it. So the World Cup has been fantastic. I've been watching all of it. It was exciting today. Japan advanced. Germany was eliminated. All these games are really fascinating to watch. And it's almost like... I'd say it's almost like hypnotic. Like you just get wrapped up in a game. And by the way, yeah. great when you're stoned. Soccer is great when you're stoned. You're just watching the flow of the game. It's fantastic. So
is it really like? Is it better than any of the other sports? Like why? Like what sports do you not like when you're
good
stoned?
Good follow up, George. Good follow up.
You know, baseball I think is a thinker sport. I like to think about baseball. I can watch an NBA game up and down and the flow of the game. It's perfect. I never watch NFL games stoned. I only watch basketball and soccer stoned.
Mm-hmm. And when you watch
baseball, you can't watch baseball stoned?
No, I can't watch
You'll
baseball
fall
stoned. Yeah, I'll nod off.
But
Cappy's right.
If you're watching soccer stoned how? Just want to understand the stonage.
Gummied up.
How many milligrams you think?
5 milligrams.
Five?
Yeah.
Five
really?
Or ten?
Five.
Only five?
Just five for the daytime?
Yeah, five for the daytime.
For you, that what
well,
that even do? Is that like
you
taking
I'm
a Tylenol?
How many milligrams I think you're taking? I would say that you would start with 10, and about an hour into it, you bite off another 2.5. About another hour into it, 2.5. 15, you're done for the day.
15? Do you do 15 milligrams?
Well, not really, because I'm not really that into gummies. But if I was, you know, if I were to go out, and I was going to go out, and I was going to be on gummies, I'd start with 10.
Wow.
Oh.
That's hardcore.
Not that I'm proud of it. I mean,
I feel like a rookie.
Yeah, I mean, I just thought that's
what
you did.
I thought I was the guy. You're the guy.
No, I'm not the guy. You're the guy.
You sound like the guy.
No. I'm just the secondary guy. You're the primary guy.
Secondary guy. Got it. By the way, we find out next Friday. Black
Momo,
cold.
You hear this?
What do you find out?
Me and Cappy, for the first time ever, are doing a show together out of Black Gold next Friday from 1 to 3.
Wow. I don't know what's going to happen there.
It's going to be fascinating. It's going to be fascinating. Wow. Stradano, what do you expect from the show?
Complete train wreck. And I mean that in like a good way, though.
Sure. Yeah, I think it's going to be good.
You like it? You like the idea?
I think it's going to be great. Have we got a gag yet?
We haven't really come up with a gag yet, but we do need to come up with something.
Yeah, we really
well,
do.
Well, can you come up with something that could rival the twerk-off?
Oh, God. Hopefully something less embarrassing.
I know, but like the first suggestion was from the Big CY who wanted us to do golf cart racing.
Yeah, golf cart racing, I don't think we could get clearance for that.
Yeah.
George, that sounds like somebody's going to break a bone, doesn't it?
Plus, I know somebody that was involved 100%. In a golf cart accident recently. So
we all do. Yeah. We all know that person. Yeah.
Oh, so, do I know
that
person?
Almost lost their leg.
Yeah. It's carnage.
It was carnage. Yeah. So I don't think that. But there's got to be something. We got to put on a show. David Kent, our friend David Kent from
Britain. Hello, David.
Wants to know, what about Billie Eilish?
No.
No, she could not. You don't think she could sell out?
What do you mean, no? What do you know about Billie Eilish, Kev?
Nothing. That's
won a lot of Grammys. That's why,
because I'm not going.
She now, wins all the Taylor Grammys.
You're not going.
Yeah.
But there'll be a million young people there.
Right, but I threw out there like Miley Cyrus, and everybody went, no. And I'm like,
no, but
I would
Miley
go to that.
Cyrus is not as big as Billie Eilish right now.
No?
No, not even close.
No, really?
Yeah, Jonathan Torres says Billie Eilish at SoFi, yes.
Really?
Trey G says, I watch everything stoned. Well, good for you, kid.
Uncle Mace can't handle everything at this stage of his life.
Yeah, way to go. Nice going.
That's
going.
Funny.
I'm finally getting over this RSV thing, which has been just a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
My voice is finally back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my kid had that. It was awful.
Yeah, that's terrible.
I said to Mace at the beginning. Yeah. I said, isn't that a children's disease?
Everybody gets it now, though. Like,
I think everybody's getting it.
I think that RSV has always been around, but back when we were kids, George, we just called it a cold.
Yeah, it is right. Really just a cold.
Like we would just call, right, oh, I have a really bad cough. I have a really bad cold. I mean, that was, yeah. But now we
it's
name
really
it
bad
as RSV.
For infants, though.
Yeah, so when my 4-year-old got it, he brought it home from preschool. Like literally the entire class got it. I took the baby to an Airbnb and I stayed there for a couple of nights because it's way more dangerous for infants.
Mm-hmm. And for elderly people.
Yeah. So,
well,
you know.
Mace.
Not elderly yet.
Wait, what?
No, I'm not.
Well,
there.
He's elderly than everybody
else
here.
He's just older than us.
Right.
I'm older than you.
Yeah,
he's
not elderly.
Right, but
elderly
I'm so rarely the youngest person or one of the younger people around. I mean, with me and Sedano and Laura and Lindsay, I mean, I'm always the old guy. So,
I'm
going to take at least.
I just won an effing twerk off.
You did win a twerk off.
Yep.
Which does make you more contemporary, I would say.
Yes.
Momo, did you see the twerk off?
It's not my thing.
No, you didn't see it?
Did you see it?
No. I mean, I saw like some.
You didn't see
every
it on
time
social?
I see the twerking, I just look away.
Really? You didn't think that it was like so bad that you should watch it?
I've seen all I need to see.
Oh.
There's certain things that you see and you can't unsee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's one of them.
I thought it was a moment of brilliance for both of us. Moment of brilliance that will stand the test of time. And Carlos Sisu, our social media expert, will tweet that out every chance he gets.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He loved it.
I mean, I just saw you with a weird look on your face doing something with the chair, and I was like, that's enough for me.
Yeah, no. Mandy's two. Coming this spring, Mandy's two.
But Momo, did you see perhaps one of the more disturbing things that happened at the twerk off when George was helping me stretch out? Did you catch that?
Oh, I don't need to catch that.
No. Oh, yeah. No, I took my took my foot, put it up on George's shoulder. George was trying to legitimately rip the hamstring from my bone of my body.
Yeah.
And then on my left leg, we almost fell backwards together.
Wow.
That would have been something,
You guys are close.
Yeah.
Well, a team that talks together stretches together, you know?
Stretches together, yeah.
Exactly. I am into the group stretching. I think that's good. I think people need to get, you know, we all could use some of that.
Did you know that we're now the exclusive unofficial home of USC Trojan football?
You can't do that to a Stanford girl. You can't.
Like, I heard that earlier, Mace. I was like in the rental car listening to you guys for a bit, and I heard that. Did you make that proclamation?
Yes, the exclusive unofficial home of USC Trojan football.
How you feel about that,
okay,
George?
I don't
like it.
Do you have to pay anything for that?
What do you mean you don't
like
it?
Because I would like to be the exclusive.
Like
I'd like to be the exclusive unofficial home of
no.
Of
but are you referring, Mason? Are you referring to your show or the station?
I think the station should be it.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
then
you said,
yeah.
You said show.
Yeah. No, show. I think we as a station should be the exclusive unofficial home of USC Trojan football.
I mean, we gave away enough Pac-12 championship tickets for the game tomorrow night.
You bet.
We pretty much packed that
People
place tomorrow.
That up.
It's going to be big tomorrow. A lot of USC fans driving in for that game in Vegas. It's a big moment, I think.
Do you drive or fly?
Are you going?
I would fly.
I'm not. I got the RSV.
Friday afternoon traffic.
Oh, that's right. That's right. But are you still going to have the RSV tomorrow?
No, I don't think I can come in tomorrow. Yeah. I don't want to get it on Momo.
I don't want it
either. That's very nice of you.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm not talking about coming in. I'm talking about are you going to the game?
Give it to other people.
In Vegas?
Yeah.
Give it to a
No,
whole
I'm not
stadium.
Going to the game in Vegas. I'm going to the game at Sunday at SoFi, but I'm not going to the game
in
Vegas.
You'll give it to the people at SoFi.
I do have tickets to the national championship game at SoFi, and I hope USC's going to
be there. Oh, look at you, fancy.
Made an investment in those tickets. If they don't get there, then I'm going to sell them, hopefully, with a significant markup.
Why are you going to the game on Sunday?
Because it's my team.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Don't you think you should, like, isn't there something that Kevin Demoff was on the other day talking about how to give your tickets to somebody who's never been?
Sure.
So why don't you give your tickets away, and this way you don't have to schlep.
I'm not schlepping. I enjoy going to the games. I have fun going to the games.
Even now?
I mean, Cappy thinks you're elderly, so you should rest more for your RSV.
Yeah, F you,
so.
Cappy.
It's more worried about your RSV, my friend.
Yeah, don't worry about it. It's fine.
Worried about your RSV, young guy.
Yeah. No, I'm going to go to every one of these games. Screw that. I've not missed a...
Enough for it.
I paid enough for it. I'm going to get my money's worth. And
that's
you know
what it's about.
Where I go, the food is pretty good. Like, the shrimp was delicious.
Is it really, though?
I don't know, bro. The shrimp was delicious in the Chairman's Club.
The SoFi Stadium is the most beautiful stadium I've ever been to, and I've been to a lot of them now at this stage, but the food needs to step up their game.
Well, it depends where you are.
I've eaten from all sorts of different locations in the stadium.
I agree with George. That's like going to a great wedding and the food sucks.
Yep.
Well, I can say that the food in the suite's pretty good.
Yeah, I was going to say the food in the Chairman's
Club. Oh, I don't know. I had the food in the suites and it was just aight.
Yeah, it was only okay.
Yeah. Right.
Well, I'll tell you what, you guys should go to the USC game. You should see the food there.
The best food in town. Yep. The best food in town at a sporting event is still LAFC, hands down.
Ooh, yes.
LAFC is awesome.
Don't know about
that. The whole experience, the food, everything is great. All right, hey, that's it for us. Me and Momo are back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Coming up next for you is Shidano and Cappy at full strength. Super Crosstalk brought to you by Coors Light, keeping Southern California chill all season long. See you tomorrow here on the exclusive unofficial home of USC Trojan football, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, come on.
Have you been to a quinceañera?
Well, my three daughters had quinceañeras.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, they did.
Lie detected.
They had sweet 16s, probably.
No, they had bat mitzvahs. It's the same thing.
Oh, whatever, yeah. Well, how old are they when they do that?
13.
All right. I mean, it's not the same. It's sort of the same thing.
Practically the same thing.
Yeah, but have you been to a quinceañera where the tías get down like Beto was talking about?
Who?
Who's quinceañera? Who's quinceañera?
My friend.
Whose friend? You're already lying. You can always. You know how I can tell you're always lying?
How?
Because when you lie, you end up going on. You go up like an octave.
I do.
You know what I mean? At the end of your sentence.
My friend! My friend's. Kids to get up.
No, you went. No, you did that. You just like my friend.
Like
you do that.
Who do you think?
Yeah.
It's kind of like the opposite of your remote control voice.
Oh really? Oh right.
Yeah.
Right.
It is. That's an excellent point.
You'll be like Fox Sports.
ESPN.
You'll be like, my friend.
CNN. CNBC.
Amazon NFL today.
Ooh, we got a football game on tonight, don't we?
It's actually a good one.
Got ourselves a ball game tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Amazon Prime.
Oh, jeez.
Just did it. About to flick over to Amazon Prime. Prime Video.
Yeah.
Here we go.
So, Cappy, so have you been to a quinceañera? Yes or no? It's okay if you haven't. We can take you to one.
George, when you live in San Diego for 20 years, you have mucho amigos, you know?
Okay.
And you go to quinceañeras. You get invited to these things. Okay. It's a lovely thing.
I love it. Okay, great. I'm glad to hear
why,
that. Look
a
at
lot
that.
Of times,
see that? Take that, Christopher.
Yeah, and then people are like, ooh, I'm going to my first bat mitzvah when they come to my daughter's deals. You know what I mean? It's, ooh, my first kid's bat mitzvah. Right. So,
yeah.
That's the deal, man.
Okay, that is nice. So, Cappy, before we get started into our usual shenanigans today, I feel like, you know, every once in a while, like even though, as Mace and us like to say, we deal in stupidity, generally speaking, for 3 hours a day. Every once in a while, there's a kind of serious topic that comes up. Like we talked about Kyrie, obviously, for a few times. So even though we didn't want to talk about it a ton, we did talk about it. We had, a very thoughtful conversation about what was transpiring at that time. And look, there's a million times over where things like that have happened in sports. So yesterday, and if you can have the sound ready, Laura, LeBron James made a point to talk to the media yesterday about Jerry Jones, okay? And for those that don't know what's going on with Jerry Jones, the Washington Post did a story, which is a very long story.
Freaking wrote a book.
Yeah, it was. It took like 30 or 40 minutes to read. It's very thorough.
Oh, God. So long.
And Jerry sat down with the Washington Post for this story, too. So basically, the premise of the story was about the hiring practices in the NFL, particularly the man who is the mover and shaker in the NFL, Jerry Jones, and how there's not enough diversity in the NFL ranks, which we all know there's only three black head coaches, and just like how to make that better and why he isn't the guy leading the charge when he leads the charge on everything else. So in that story, it talks about kind of his background and how his grandparents were part of, let's just call it some semblance of a white supremacist group. I don't know the details of this particular group, but that's what I gathered from the reading of the story. And how Jerry, there's this picture that I'm sure many people have seen on the internet now, surfaced that he was at a, basically, for lack of a better phrase, a race riot as a 14-year-old, where he's standing kind of there off a little bit off to the side in a gathering where black kids are trying to enter the school as they're trying to desegregate. In that situation, and he was asked about the picture. And in this story, Jerry just basically kind of says, oh, I was just a curious 14-year-old, right? So LeBron yesterday, when he was done with his media session, before he put down the mic, he asked this question of the media. Let's hear it, Laura.
I got one question for you guys before you guys leave. I was thinking when I was on my way over here, I was wondering why I haven't gotten a question from you guys about the Jerry Jones photo. But when the Kyrie thing was going on, you guys were quick to ask us questions about that.
Okay.
Hold on. And I don't even want you guys to say nothing.
Ooh.
When I watched Kyrie talk and he says, I know who I am, but I want to keep the same energy when we're talking about my people and the things that we've been through. And that Jerry Jones photo is one of those moments that our people, black people, have been through in America. And I feel like as a black man, as a black athlete, as someone with power and a platform, when we do something wrong or something that people don't agree with, it's on every single tabloid, every single news coverage. It's on the bottom ticker. It's asked about every single day. But it seems like to me that the whole Jerry Jones situation photo, and I know it was years and years ago and we all make mistakes, I get it. But it seemed like it's just been buried under like, oh, it happened. Okay, we just move on. And I was just kind of disappointed that I haven't received that question from you guys. Mm.
Okay, so here's what I would say. I think he has a point in regards to the coverage of it. I think the Washington Post did a very thorough job of reporting it. And there have been a few think pieces. There's been a little commentary here and there. But it certainly didn't control the news cycle like Kyrie did. Is that fair to say, Cap?
Not even close. Not even close.
So,
I mean, Kyrie is a contemporary current ball player who has a pattern of behavior of, you know, really creating a lot of controversy around himself. And LeBron has a relationship with Kyrie. They played together. They won together. He's an NBA player. LeBron is the face of the NBA. I mean, did he really want the media to give him answers? Because the answer is no, because he got up and walked out, right?
Well, I don't know what he wanted or didn't want, but what I would say is I do think he brings up a fair point that the coverage is not the same. And we can talk about Kyrie being a current player, but Jerry Jones is the most powerful man in the NFL, and he'll tell you as much. So shouldn't he at least have something to say other than what he said to the Washington Post in that story?
You just said it. I mean, he really, there was a very, very lengthy and thorough discussion with Jerry Jones, and by the way, with a lot of commentary and judgment in there as well. I mean, it wasn't like it was written as a column. It wasn't written as just this is information you decide. The writers definitely had opinions.
Yeah, it was commentary.
Yeah,
yeah, it was a commentary. But what I think and what I took from it immediately, and then of course the writer in the Washington Post also alluded to, was he didn't really like say like, oh man, yeah. I mean, he just basically called himself a curious 14-year-old. I mean, maybe I'm wrong here, but I think at the very least, someone could follow up with Jerry Jones, and maybe they did in that setting when they're in a room with him and he didn't really give them anything. But perhaps someone in the Dallas media, which there are plenty of that have been critics of Jerry Jones, or someone in the national media could just step up and say to Jerry, hey, Jerry, it probably would just be really easy for you to just condemn what happened there. And you could just say, hey, I was a 14-year-old kid. I was really scared. Obviously, it was a very, you know, scary time. I didn't know what, you know, what would transpire if I stood up in that situation, considering there was literally a mob of people there. If he actually just would have said that in the story, or would have said that after the fact when everybody was discussing the story the next day, I feel like that, you know, eventually he would have been okay. I think there would be less scrutiny on him right now. Now, I also think there hasn't been enough scrutiny considering we haven't gotten that from him. And to LeBron's point, look, Kyrie was defiant multiple times and didn't give what we thought was actual contrition until he did. And then when he did, the story went away. And I think LeBron's point is, well, where's Jerry's contrition in this situation?
Yeah, but I will tell you, George, I think there's so much more to this. And if you want to keep talking about it, I'm happy to have the conversation. I just feel like...
We can, because I just feel
like LeBron scolding the media. It's like, hey, LeBron, I just want to let you know, man, I write about basketball. You know, like between your groin, your ankle, the team's performance, the possibilities of trades. Like, I'm a basketball writer. Like, if I were there, I'd be like, yo, man, I'm not like a political writer. And he might come back to me and go, yeah, but you asked me about Kyrie because he's a player that you know that you've played with. And by the way, it almost feels like, you know, in some ways, are you positioning Kyrie because you eventually want to get him here to the Lakers and you want to make it a softer landing spot for him?
Well, I don't know if that has anything to do with it.
Well,
let's talk about it more on the other side, because I do think that he gets asked a lot of questions that aren't related to basketball. So let's continue this discussion on the other side. We'll do that. We're coming back in a couple minutes. Wow, Chris, I almost feel like you should have separated those two, because I have so much to say about Richard Pryor, and I obviously have a lot to say about Whitney Houston, too. Richard Pryor, to me, just one of the... I mean, listen, he spawned off an entire generation of comics, like in a way that I don't think we've ever seen anyone spawn off a generation before or even after, to be honest with you.
Well, when Eddie Murphy which one was it? Was it Delirious? I think it was when Eddie Murphy starts telling the story about how he wants to be Richard Pryor as a little kid, and he's doing stand up at like 15 years old, and his mom's taking him to clubs, and the only thing he has experience in life at doing was going to the bathroom, and he's trying to do a Richard Pryor impression about going to the bathroom because that's the only life experience he had, but he just wanted to be Richard Pryor.
Right. And if you've never seen Live on the Sunset Strip by Richard Pryor, it's one of the best stand-up comedies you'll ever see, especially if you know anything about him. It's just really, really well done. You could probably still find that on like Showtime. I know airs it every once in a while, so I'm guessing it's on one of their streaming services.
How about on Amazon Prime? I'm on Amazon Prime right now, Live at the Sunset Strip. So I'm trying, you see? Trying with Amazon Prime right now.
Yeah,
there it is. How about that?
There you go.
How about that?
Watch it if you'd like. And then with Whitney Houston, I do want to see the docu-movie or whatever they're making with her, I Want to Dance with Somebody. That looks good, too. And I think that's coming out here.
They're making another one? They just had like two Whitney Houston docu-series.
No, this is like the same people. No, this is not. This is like a real movie, though. This is like
a biopic.
Like kind of like Bohemian Rhapsody, same people that made that.
Gotcha.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Richard Pryor movies. I want to just say one of my all-time favorite movies, Richard Pryor, Brewster's Millions. I don't know that everybody knows that
it's
movie.
It's a great movie.
I know you know it.
No, I do. It's a great movie.
But that's a good one. Didn't he do another one? Was it called The Toy? Does that sound familiar?
The Toy, yeah. Brewster's Millions, more my favorite. The Hackensack Bulls.
Yeah, love the Hackensack Bulls. Goey Bulls, go.
Yeah, it was a great, great movie. But, I mean, look, I can go down a Richard Pryor rabbit hole forever, and a Whitney Houston one forever as well. So, Christopher, I love the fact that you have them both in the show, but I would have... Would have been nice to have them separated, to be honest.
In separate rabbit holes.
Yeah, exactly. Let's finish up this conversation because we do have Fat Jack coming up to talk football with us in about 8 minutes or so.
Nice.
So my ultimate point is this. If you and look, it is a lengthy read in the Washington Post. I do think it's worth reading because it really dives. You don't think it's worth reading?
It's really, really, really long. And when I read through it, I was about halfway through it, and I was like, okay, I think I get it. And I was like, all right, I'm going to go back and read the rest of it, because I know George is going to want to read the whole thing, and I knew you were traveling today, so I figured you probably read the whole thing. I was like, oh my God, when does this thing end? Like, I actually scrolled up on my phone to go, how much longer do I have here? It is freaking long.
But really well done. That's what good journalism is. And so I would say that they covered basically all the bases on Jerry Jones, from childhood all the way through adulthood. And look, I think that when I think of Jerry Jones, all I think of is this, and I think Chris kind of mentioned it well in our group chat. It's like, sometimes you wonder how someone so successful at making deals and thinking quick on their feet doesn't just have the ability to say, hey, sorry, I didn't know any better back then. I was 14 years old. I was terrified. If you just say that, I mean, I think that no one, first of all, there's not enough attention to it, but even after the fact that the story came out, no one even asked them about that. Like, hey, like, do you feel any differently now? I mean, do you want to just condemn racism just for, you know, posterity's sake? And no one's even done that. And I think that, to me, is the ultimate LeBron point, is where is that? Where with Kyrie, until we got what we deemed was a reasonable response and contrition, there was pressure on him. And then he showed contrition. You can believe him or not, but I, at least when I saw him, it finally felt like, oh, yes, he's being contrite here. So I just wonder, again, because Jerry Jones is he's a billionaire? What's the deal here? Like, why isn't he getting that kind of treatment? Like,
well,
what
we
is
all
it
know
that?
Why. I mean, listen, what is LeBron really saying? I mean, come on, George. I mean, if we really want to say it, what is he saying? He's saying a young
black
man.
He's saying he's
man,
an old white guy who's a billionaire? Right.
He's saying a young black man did something that offended a lot of people. And instead of it just being enough to say, I'm sorry, which he didn't really do at first. But still, this young black man was, you know, he was beaten up by the media, you know?
Right.
And here's an old white guy.
So where is Jerry Jones being beat up? Right.
So, and by the way, it's the same conversation that was happening a few weeks ago. And I think it was still Kyrie. And people were saying, well, where's the coverage of Brett Favre? You know, so there's this feeling, there's no doubt that this is what LeBron was saying, is that the white guy is getting the break and the black guy is taking it much harder.
Well,
and so
you and I actually had this discussion about Brett Favre, and I think there is a difference between Brett Favre and even Jerry Jones, is that Brett Favre has been long removed from being, you know, in our lives, even as an athlete, whereas Jerry Jones is very much front and center in our lives each and every Sunday.
That's true, but as Stephen A. Smith brought up on ESPN, and this was, you know, this was a week ago, by the way, because the story in the Washington Post came out, I want to say, on November 23rd, and as Stephen A. week ago was like, are you guys for real? Like, you're going to go back 65 years and you're going to find a picture and then you're going to blow this story up like this over something that happened back then in Arkansas? I guess for me, in watching LeBron last night, here's what I kept thinking to myself. LeBron.
Wait, but let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, though. Before that.
Yeah.
What I would say respectfully to Stephen A. Smith is, yes, I would want to know, hey, man, what was up with that? You know what I mean? Like, at the very least, the very open-ended question. Yes, I would want to know.
But I think the answer is pretty obvious. I mean, he was in Arkansas in whatever year it was, and he's like this 14-year-old kid. Listen, I'm not, George, I'm not here to defend Jerry. What I'm saying, though, is this is about what LeBron said last night to me. And what LeBron said was that he was disappointed.
I disagree.
Okay.
I think this is about Jerry, personally. Well, I think this should be more about Jerry than LeBron.
But I have a question for you. If LeBron doesn't say what he says last night, are we talking about this today?
No, and I'm kind of, probably not, but I'm kind of glad he did, because it gave me an opportunity to actually read the entire story.
So what I look at, though, is I look at LeBron, and he's disappointed with the media. Why'd you guys not ask me about this? You know, it's pretty disappointing. And what I would think is, well, hey, look, you know, you have a ton of media assets, LeBron. Like tonight, for example.
Right.
I'll give you that.
He could have talked about it sooner. Yeah.
Well, that, or now tonight, I don't know this, but does anybody know this? Maybe LeBron's traveling with the Lakers and they don't do this tonight, but does LeBron have his Amazon Prime hanging out, watching the game thing going tonight? Does anybody know that?
I don't think so, because they are traveling.
Okay.
Today.
So, but my point is that LeBron has a lot of media assets, and if LeBron wants to talk about something, he can very quickly and easily use his platforms could be post-game press conferences.
Right.
I mean, if it's something he wants to talk about, he can talk about it.
Yeah. I agree with that. And I think he did, right? But I think, I mean, you know, whether we want to talk about whether he should have brought it up 4 days ago or 5 days ago or whatever, nonetheless, he did do it. But I'm with you. He could have, if he wanted to elaborate about this sooner, than he could have, and could have made it a conversation sooner, closer to when the story came out, you know, 6-7 days ago, whatever it was. Nonetheless, we're still here. And I think that, like, when I read the story, there were a couple things that stuck out. And this is what, and we can just kind of wrap it up here. Because basically, like, I didn't know this about Jerry Jones. So in the story, the Washington Post tells the story about how Jerry Jones made his first big deal when he was, like, you know, businessman in Texas or whatever. And he's telling the story in a room of 64 minority coaches in the National Football League at, like, some sort of symposium. And he tells the story, like, you know, when you want something, you got to go after it. You got to do whatever it takes to get it, right? Like, that's kind of the genesis of his story in this mm-hmm. room.
Right.
And he tells them that, you know, he was in this meeting with this guy, and he realized the guy's a big golf fan. And he's like, oh, he's a big golf fan. I'm going to call my old coach at Arkansas, Frank Broyles, and see if he can get us into Augusta. Mm-hmm. And he calls his coach, like, coach, I got to get this meeting. You know, can you get me into Augusta? Can we do a foursome? He's like, yeah, we'll do it for you, blah, blah, blah. He's like, all right. And he tells that room of 64 minority coaches, yeah, and I got us into Augusta, and I got that first big deal. And then, you know, I never looked back, not realizing the irony it was soaked in that minority people couldn't get into Augusta until God knows how long ago. Like, that's how, the point is that the story shows how oblivious he is to this stuff. Which, yeah. And by the way, here's another thing he did. Mm. In that story, he might have messed up the NFL's lawsuit that they're dealing with Brian Flores when he openly told the Washington Post, I've never hired in an interview. I hire on relationships.
That's right. That's what he said. That's what he said.
It's the complete opposite of what the Rooney Rule is supposed to be.
I know, but pre-Rooney Rule, he was like, yo, I hired Jimmy Johnson because that was my boy, and then I hired Barry Switzer because that was my boy, and then I wanted to hire Denny Green because I really loved Denny Green because I worked with him on the competition committee, but then I got Parcells instead.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. But I hired Jason Garrett, which he said, which was post-Rooney Rule, because his dad was a scout for me.
Yeah, and because he was controllable and he was less expensive and he didn't get into those things.
Right, but my point is, like, he said a lot of things there that should be newsworthy. Forget about just, like, the picture for a second. The stuff about what he said to the minority coaches about Augusta, how oblivious he is there. And secondly, how he basically just said he doesn't apply the Rooney Rule ever.
Yeah, I read the whole thing, George. I did, and I really felt like the point of the story was this. Jerry Jones grew up in the South a long, long time ago, and somebody dug up this picture, and Jerry Jones is probably the most powerful guy in the NFL, and the point of the story is if he would hire an African-American coach, that would help other African-American coaches get jobs around the league.
Right, because Jerry Jones hasn't done it. But the only thing
about this is, just here's my final thought. With regards to LeBron, as you point out all the time, is very smart. He's very calculated. He also has access to, as he calls it, his platforms. If LeBron really wants to go off on this, he can. My biggest disappointment, because I love that LeBron says what he wants to say, and I love that he has strong opinions on things, but to sit there and scold the media, hey, LeBron, come on, man. I'm covering basketball over here. Really, dude? And when you, and if you come back at me and you go, yeah, but you ask me about Kyrie. Yeah, he's a basketball player. You're the face of basketball. I'm sorry you're so disappointed in me. As a matter of fact, when I tried to give you an answer as to why that might be from my perspective, you shut me down because you're the boss. Even of us, the media, you're the boss. So I like that LeBron says stuff. Just doesn't always mean that I love what he says, but I like that he says it. I like guys with opinions.
The media... I just say this. I'll land on this. I don't have an issue with him calling out the media because they ask him about all sorts of other stuff beyond Kyrie. They'll ask him random stuff all the time that has nothing to do with basketball. So I'm guessing
keep
he
doing it.
He's well. I mean, that's why I think he was surprised he didn't get that sooner, and then he eventually said, "All right, you guys don't want to do it, then I'm going to do it."
Okay. Well, good. So good. He's a smart media man. Do it. You have something to say? Say it.
I agree. We agree, the one agreement we definitely have is if I were him, and he doesn't need to listen to me, I would have said something sooner. But I'm glad he did bring attention to it, because everyone should read that Washington Post story and look at Jerry Jones and be like, bro, are you that oblivious?
Dude, like, a lot like six hours. Give yourself a long time to read it.
It's like 30 minutes.
Dude, it's a long time.
You know, sometimes what you know, reading is essential, Cappy, and that's how
you read it on your phone, or do you read it on a computer?
On my phone?
Yeah, it was hard on my phone. I started to get fuzzy. George, I think I need glasses, man.
Maybe you should. How about this?
All of a sudden, things are blurry.
go do an eye test while we wait for Fat Jack to join us. We'll talk some football. But I'm glad we had this 30 minutes to start the show to have this conversation, because I felt like it was important, considering all the people involved. And I feel like I just think it deserved the attention. So,
yeah,
all right, let's talk football next with Fat Jack. All right, Christopher, thank you. I love a little home and garden television every once in a while. Especially those real estate shows. I love those shows. Sedano and Cap with you here on 710 ESPN. All right, time to dive into some football. We got championship games this weekend in college. Of course, NFL slate that continues. We got a Heisman candidate here in L.A. that is minus 2,800 on some books to win the Heisman. It's
candidate.
Just insane.
This guy should be automatic home run at this point.
Yeah, right, yeah, yeah. You know what? Let's bring on Fat Jack. FatJackSports.com joins us every week. Follow him on his social channels, at Fat Jack Sports. Jack, have you ever seen a guy like Caleb Williams be that big a Heisman favorite, in your memory at least, off the top of your head?
I mean, I watched him in Oklahoma, and I mean, there's a lot of people in the Midwest that are wondering what the heck's going on. I mean, Lincoln Riley leaves, he leaves, and everybody leaves, guys going to win the Heisman, and I have. I mean, we've seen a couple of them, and they typically get across the finish line. So I think he probably is going to win it, and deservedly so. He's one of the top four teams in the country. He's the major part of what their offense is, and he's got some swagger to go with it. So, I mean, good for him. I mean, he's definitely going to get it done. It looks like we're getting it done. I mean, we won again Monday with Pittsburgh. Everybody's turning a profit. It's funny, this time of year, guys, I'll get two emails back-to-back. One of them will say, you're the worst I've ever seen. You're horrible. You never win a game. Da, da, da. And the very next one will be, Jack, thank you so much for the picks. I've never been up this much money. And the funny thing is, they get exactly the same picks. I mean, it's just funny how people in late November, early December, as we head toward the holidays, how their gambling journey, how it takes them. So everything's going great, though. $100 player up well over $5,000 since August. And we're actually off to a great start today at over in the Spain-Japan game with our World Cup stuff. That went over. I have Oklahoma State over 136. They're playing UConn right now. This probably just started the second half. That one looks good. More basketball and a football game going tonight. I said we had Pittsburgh on Monday. So everything's great as we head into the first part of December.
All right, man. Well, we got a lot going on here, Jack. So why don't we do this? At least from my perspective, start us off with tomorrow night. Number 11 Utah, number 4 USC, a chance to avenge the one loss of the year for USC, and a chance to make it to the playoff well ahead of what the projected schedule likely was for USC. USC's a 2.5-point favorite in Vegas tomorrow night. What do we do?
Yeah, there's big conversation about if they lose, if they're still in. I think that's absolutely a no. And Utah is kind of their kryptonite. They play really good defense. They're very balanced, and they're hot right now. This is the Utah team that early in the year was good, through the middle not so much, and now they're heading the right way again. Utah 5-1 against, or straight up, their last six games, and they're doing it with defense, which is what, if you're going to beat USC, you can't get a track meet. We've seen that with UCLA and others that try to outscore them. You can't outscore them. You've got to maintain the ball, win time of possession, play some defense, get some stops. That's what Utah does. The other thing, there's a ton of Mormons that'll be in town for this game. USC typically doesn't travel all that well. And this game's in Allegiant Stadium. I'm here in Vegas also. In that stadium, it almost feels empty even when there's a lot of people, unless it's a Raiders game. So it won't be a huge home field advantage, but a lot of Utah fans will certainly travel over here. I think either USC or TCU loses this weekend, and that opens up a little bit of a can of worms for the committee to figure out what they're going to do with all that. I think this is a really difficult game to pick, though. Just a slight lean toward Utah, because I do think they do a lot right of what USC will struggle with. And more importantly, your players, Utah's not playing for this spot. All of the pressure's on SC, just like TCU. And they have a bunch of players that have really not been in this situation before. So a much better game to watch than to bet on, most likely, though.
Fat Jack, FatJackSports.com. Follow him on his social channels, at Fat Jack Sports. So are there any other college games? I know you mentioned a few of them in there, kind of in there as well. But, like, are there any other college games you're into, or do you want to just move on to the NFL? And if so, where are you looking there?
No, there's definitely there's a couple to look at. North Texas has been getting it done with defense, not offense. UTSA's offense is horrible. I would go under the total in that one for sure. There's a few totals that I like. And, frankly, the Utah-USC game, I think the total's a better play. So I would probably go under there. The other one would be this Tulane team. Tulane's hosting because it's in New Orleans, but they're playing UCF. Tulane, number one against the spread this year. Them and Oregon State, both 10-2 against the number. They also doing with time possession, controlling the clock. not scoring a ton of points, I'd go under in that game as well. This is a few college games to get you going. I also think Georgia blows out LSU, so I'd lay the points there. NFL, much more intriguing, though, and a lot of really good games.
Yeah, there are some good games, especially in the late window on Sunday. The one I want to get your opinion on is Chargers-Raiders. It looks like the Raiders have kind of recovered the last couple weeks, and the Chargers are always kind of meddling around where they are right now. So it's kind of like mediocre versus not very good. What do you like here between the Chargers and the Raiders?
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult because the Chargers have dealt with such injuries, especially at receiver and offense. They're 5-1 against the spread, their last six on the road. So they are outperforming the market more recently. I don't trust the Raiders as far as I can throw them is the problem here. So if you make me play it, I would lean toward the Chargers and go ahead and lay the number. I think they are rolling right now. Vegas has gone over four of their last five home games, giving up points, scoring some points. And actually, they're over six of their last nine games overall. So this defense not playing particularly well. Offense, as you mentioned, kind of putting it together. I think the one right below that in the late window, Kansas City, Cincinnati, very intriguing. And I think we may look up at the end of this thing that really was pretty easy. Kansas City, you know, Patrick Mahomes is not lost in his career in the month of November or December. He's 26-0 in those months. They're only a point and a half or 2-point favorite against the Cincinnati team that was exactly in this spot this time last year before they made the run all the way to the Super Bowl out there in California. And I do think Cincinnati's heading the right way. I released them last week. They were one of my winners on Sunday. But I think when you get Patrick Mahomes as only a point and a half or 2-point favorite in a revenge spot, which I don't know how much that actually matters. I mean, they're going to go out and play no matter what. But I do think you're getting a much better offense against a team that can't get in a shootout. And Kansas City has proven that they're going to score against just about everybody. Cincinnati's super hot right now against the number, 8-1 against the spread. But I would take the Chiefs in that one. I think they're going to probably go up and take care of business at Cincinnati.
FatJackSports.com is where you find this man on his social handles, at FatJackSports. I've got an interesting game, I think, in the Dolphins and the Niners. Those two teams, look, the Dolphins head coach was Kyle Shanahan's offensive coordinator, so it feels like these two teams in some way, shape, or form are somewhat mirror images of each other in some capacities, right? The Niners have been fantastic, I feel like, here recently. They feel like the Niners again here over the last, you know, four or five games or whatever. They're 4-point favorites at the moment. The over-under is 46.5. I feel like the Niners should win this one, Jack, and I almost feel like it will go under. Like, this is the one team that can hold the Dolphins offense down, who's been scoring over 30 points for what seems like three or four straight games now. What's the right side of that one?
Yeah, when you try to figure it out, that's what you look at. Can San Francisco's defense stop Miami's offense? Six of the last seven San Francisco games have gone under the total, so they have been getting it in defensively. San Francisco's here to stay, at least the rest of this year. They're going to be around deep in the playoffs, very balanced, very good, talked about it. And they have coaching staff on down that's been in these spots before, these deeper as we get into the playoffs. So San Francisco's for real, picking up McCaffrey, a huge part of what they're doing offensively, and they're basically settling down on offense. So that they're going to be around. This particular game, though, it's stylistic. It's kind of styles for fights. I mean, if Miami has some success offensively, does what they've been doing, it's going to be a tough spot for San Fran. San Fran cannot and will not want to get in a shootout of any kind. I think Miami keeps this thing close. If you play San Fran, you're probably going to have to earn it. I'd lean toward Miami and also the over in that one.
Jack, thank you so much. At Fat Jack. Ooh, there you go. FatJackSports.com. Yeah, well, there you go. I mean, listen, that's why he's the pro and I'm just a Joe.
Right, do what he says.
Or George in this case. Yeah. I do.
99. Yeah, 99 bucks. You don't have to guess who we have. They all go out, text and email. Through the top of next hour. You don't have to guess. We're going to probably play that game, and it's either going to be the side or the total, but $99 will get you there. So a great time to get signed up. And as you said, a huge, huge weekend of sports. Next week, we're going to have playoffs and everything set up.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome for sure. FatJackSports.com is where you find it. You heard him. Only $99 gets you in. Go to the website. Everything is there and documented. There's no, you know, faking his record. It's all there for you. You see it each and every week when you log in. Jack, always a pleasure, brother. Thanks for the time. We'll talk soon.
Guys, have a great weekend. All right, I'll see you soon.
All right, back to you, man.
All right, take care. There he is, Fat Jack Sports. Real quick, before we get to my friends at the ESPN Bundle and this Disney Plus ESPN Bundle, we're going to actually talk about the Lakers yesterday. They had a good win, Cappy, and they deserve to be discussed when they have a good win. So we're going to do that coming up next. And there's a new report out about potential trade scenarios. So we'll get to all that in a second.